Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Telephone number to be with me is the same as always, 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Jump on board here. Don't have too many things that I want to cover. Got a few things. We'll work them in as we go. 866-444-3478. Just another beautiful day, gorgeous day. The last couple of days, we had a pretty big event here. Those of you here know, those of you in other parts of the country, we had a hit-and-run storm come through. And it was a real narrow storm. Didn't last long. We got almost no rain out of it to speak of. But it did do a lot of damage. So any of you that were in the path and have had some tree damage or whatever and want to talk about that, some places got really hammered. One of the golf courses in the Dallas area that had been under construction for several months, redoing all their greens, just got smashed. And so if you had some tree damage or anything related to the storm, we can talk about that. My advice, as always, is that if you've got some bad breaks in the brakes, the limbs and or trunks are still connected to the tree, very dangerous for you to try to deal with those kind of things yourself. I know the arborists, the tree care companies are busy right now trying to fix all the stuff, and it may take a little while to get to you, but if you really don't know what you're doing and there's still some tension on big limbs or, you know, entire trunks that are bent over, don't be messing with that yourself. You can really get hurt badly by that, because when you cut with a saw and that tension releases, you can get clobbered. So it's something to leave to the professionals, and a lot of times it's not going to hurt unless it's blocking the driveway or, you know, can't get in your house or something like that. And the other thing that's really dangerous is if electrical lines are involved, that's even more critical for you to stay away from and leave it to the pros. But if you have any specific questions, if you have some photographs, you can send me to info@dirtdoctor.com. I'll be glad to try to help you with it. Basically, if it's not, you know, dangerous, high tension kind of stuff that you can cut away without, you know, risking any injury or anything, the basic advice is to cut the ragged stuff away, cut back as close as you can without cutting into any healthy living tissue. In other words, making the wound even worse than it already is. I personally am not a big pruning paint or wound dressing advocate. I don't do that on my trees. But if you do, try to get the arborist that you're working with to use something like lac balsam, L-A-C-B-A-L-S-A-M, lac balsam. And I'll try to put this, I've got something on Facebook I want to talk to you about, but I'll try to add that to Facebook's so you can, if you don't remember the name, it'll be there available for you. Lac balsam is an imported product, which, you know, I'd rather be using an American product, but it's by far the best one out there because it breathes. It stays soft and it breathes. So if you are going to use a pruning paint, a wound dressing, that's the best one to do. Some people will just use, you know, normal kind of paints and things like that, and that's okay too. I really recommend, unless you use the lac balsam, to just paint the center of the cut, not out at the edge where the callus is going to try to grow and form and cover the wound. I think wound dressings slow that process down. That's why I don't really recommend it. And there's some pretty good research out there, going back to Dr. Shigo and Carl Whitcomb in Oklahoma and people like that, showing that really does more damage, waste time, waste money than good. So anyway, if you want to talk about any of those things, anything related to the storm damage, that's fine. One other thing related to that, and I got a question by email just a day or so ago. native oaks dying. In our area here, we have a native oak that's called post oak, and it's notorious for this during droughts. And the question to me was, if I leave these trees or if I cut them and don't be careful, is there a risk of the disease in the trees transferring over to the other healthy trees? No, there's not. It's a drought issue. It's not a disease issue. And if the trees are dead, you can't bring them back from the dead. If they're still alive, what you do is deep watering. And even if you got a little bit of rain from this storm, it wasn't enough rain to get an inch in the ground, you know. So deep, deep watering, and that means laying the hose there or running some kind of system, whatever you want to run, for a long time, like 24 hours or something. So it really soaks deeply into the soil and gets those roots that are down there that have gotten dry down in the ground. That's what happens when you have a drought. The roots down in the soil, down deeply, down deep in the soil, will dry out. And then you water on the surface, and it looks like you're keeping the ground covers and the turf and things like that wet, but you're not getting enough moisture down to the roots. And you don't have to go real deep. I'm just talking about, you know, 10, 12, 15 inches or so, maybe a little deeper. And that doesn't matter whether it's clay or sandy soil. When you're in a drought, that dry area goes deeper down into the ground, and that's where the problems come in. I've had people call me about the pine beetles in Colorado, and I've talked to some people personally about it. It's still out there. It's been around several years. And it's related to the same thing. It's related to drought, for one thing. And the second thing is monocultures. Nature does kind of a balancing act every now and then. If one species really gets out of control as far as its percentage of the natural area, Mother Nature will do something. And in this case, the drought then comes directly related to the drought, the pine beetles. And it looks like, you know, the forest is being devastated. But in most cases, it's just a correction that nature's doing. And if you have any questions about that, we can talk about that. 866-444-3478. Let me see what else I need to tell you. Well, the usual stuff. This hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods. Victor Pet Foods, no wheat, no corn, no soy, no gluten, no toxic chemicals. And I'm talking about in anything they make, nothing in their plant. Their plant's over in Mount Pleasant, Texas. They do also have a line of grain-free, completely grain-free products. So they've got a wide range of choices there. They got a great cat food. VictorDogFood.com is where you go to find out more about the products. The dog this week's pretty cute. SPCA Dog of the Week. Last week, good news, Gazpacho was adopted. Thank you for that. This week, it's Buster. Buster's a one-year-old, 66-pound Labrador mix. Came to the SPCA of Texas on September the 10th, it says, because his previous owner developed allergies to him. Well, I understand that. My wife's got allergies to cats, not dogs, but I understand that that is a possibility. Says he's an awesome dog, full of energy and love and joy, loves to play, favorite game. Let's see, likes all of them. He'll fetch, run, jump, tug, whatever you want to do. He's a great companion to have for all the adventures you want to go on. He's a very happy guy. He loves people, and he's even good with kids. Says he'll make a great dog, and he's a good-looking guy. So meet Buster's. Pictures on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Click on the SPCA Dog of the Week, and you can see him. My tea this morning is orange peel, lemongrass, and honey. It's pretty good. Give it a try. I think you'll like it. And now real quickly, something about Facebook. And let me make a note here what I was going to do. I've already forgot it myself. I'll think about it in a minute. Something else I was going to put on Facebook for you. But the main thing, and I commented about it as we were about to come on the air, I have a picture of the white passion flower that we have at home. and people are wanting to know the variety and where to buy it and all that kind of thing, because it is striking. I mean, it's solid white. It's just amazing, and it's the first good photograph I've been able to get of the flower, because usually it's so bright it washes out. And it was overcast enough, the light was just right, and I got a good shot. So go to Facebook and you can see it. Facebook.com/TheDirtDoctors, how you get there. And we'd love for you to like us there, of course. But people are asking where to get it. I'll tell you about all of that. It's a little complicated, but on the other hand, we're going to make it simpler for you to get a start of this beautiful passiflora. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, quick break, and then we'll be right back and talk about that. 866-444-3478. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor, Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydrotain. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydrotain. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydrotain. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydrotain is now available to you. Hydrotain allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydrotain or order directly from Hydrotain.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month, and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we're going to go to the phones. By the way, I did put the thing I couldn't remember on Facebook for you, and that was the wound dressing, lac balsam. And it's spelled L-A-C-B-A-L-S-A-M, but I put it on Facebook, too, if you forget it and need to look that up later. And I also did a quick search for it, make sure I was spelling it right, and there are some mail order places. One that came up quickly was treestuff.com that sells it mail order. So those of you that do your own work, you can buy it pretty easily on the Internet there. And it doesn't look like the price is, you know, out too far out of line there at all. To the phones, Donna in north of Denton, it says. First up, hi, Donna.
Yeah, okay.
What's up?
I live out in the country here, and I have a large elm tree, a very healthy elm tree. I call it American elm. I don't know. I got it out of the creek. It's wide leaves and all.
Yeah, probably American elm.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the leaves are very healthy, but the last several weeks, 6 weeks maybe at the most, the tip ends, maybe 2.5 feet long tip ends of the branches, the stems are no more than 1/4 inch in diameter, just breaking off, clean breaking off.
And still green leaves on them?
Still green, they're healthy looking leaves.
When you look at the place, the end, does it look like a smooth cut or does it look ragged?
It's a little ragged, not much.
Not much ragged,
but
fairly smooth. That's squirrel damage.
But this is the very tip. How can they get to the very
tip? Well, squirrels are like that. If you watch them, they're acrobats. They can do some wild stuff that amazes you. But that sure sounds like squirrels, Donna, because I've seen it a whole lot. If it's the only other thing it can be that's looks like something chewed it off, is it mice and rats and, you know, rodents can do the same thing that squirrels do.
What about locusts? The tree is full of locusts.
I've never seen locusts do that. The locusts, normally, their only damage is the female ovipositing the eggs in the stem, and that kind of roughs up a spot. But I guess if the locusts are really heavy, they could, you know, be getting carried away and doing it so much the limb would break off. But see, that wouldn't be beneficial to the insects. I don't think the insect would be doing that.
Well, this is, you know, every morning I see a couple more limbs falling off.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of that around, and what I'm seeing is squirrel damage. So
okay.
I think you've got some agile young squirrels. It could be rats. Is this down at by a creek, you say?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, it could be roof rats. Do a web search on roof rats. They're very common around waterways and things like that, and that could be the issue as well. Any rodent could be doing that. What you can do for it, basically, is don't worry about it.
Okay.
They're doing a little pruning for you, tip pruning. If the rest of the tree looks good, the flare is exposed really well
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a healthy tree.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about a thing.
Another quick question. It may not be in your line of business here. Every spring, my yard is full of these little round, maybe 2.5-inch cross, mounds of dirt with a hole in the center, and I see little tiny bees, like half the size of a honeybee, going in and out of these holes.
Hmm.
Is that anything in your expertise?
Well, yes. We did a book called The Texas Bug Book, and in that book there is an insect that may be. I normally don't see mounds. I normally just see a flat opening
these. Yeah, it's not really a high mound. It's just a little bit of dirt disturbance, and I always thought maybe it was worms digging out or something.
No, if it's a hole and you're seeing the insects flying around, I'll tell you what you need to look at. And you can look at it in my Texas Bug Book or on our website for the Texas. It's the true yellow jacket. It's the Texas yellow jacket.
Oh, okay.
And it's a nasty little bugger. It is one of the wasps that we warn people about because they're so aggressive. If you get into one of those areas, those hives, and they feel like you're threatening their hornet's nest, literally is what it is down there underground.
Well, they're not aggressive.
Well, that's good. I don't know what they are then, if that's the case. There are some bumblebees that live in the ground, and then the other one that we run into the most is called the Texas yellow jacket. They won't be aggressive if you run into them while they're out foraging. In other words, if you see them on a flowering plant and they're out foraging for pollen and that sort of thing, and you could literally bump into them and they won't bother you at all. But if you make them feel like you're threatening their hive in the ground, mm-hmm. like I did one day sticking a shovel accidentally into one, the whole bunch of them will come after you.
Texas.
It's the true Texas yellow jacket.
Okay. And the rat that you're referring to, the mouse on the tree?
Well, the one that we've had some experience with at our own house, and a lot of people do when they're near waterways, is called a roof rat. They like to be near water, and then they'll come in. They're called the roof rat because people see them running around on the eaves and up in trees and things like that. But you've got some kind of rodent working there. Be careful about those underground. It may be something benign and beneficial, but in that case, when they're in the ground like that, they can be a real dangerous critter.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. And I know from experience how dangerous they can be. They ate me up one day. I accidentally got into one. I've told the story. You've probably already heard it, but those that hadn't, I was gardening in an area just off my property, actually, and I was taking out some little volunteer trees. I didn't want to have junk trees and some poison ivy that was still trying to pop up, and I stuck a sharpshooter shovel right into a hornet's nest, one of these Texas yellow jackets, and I had on shorts and sandals and a t-shirt. Got about 40 stings. Anyway, we'll be back after this. 866-444-3478.
Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living.
Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation.
Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and let's see. Got a couple of things to catch up on here in a minute, but right now Dale's been holding for a while in Waco. Let's see what's up there. Hi, Dale.
Good morning, sir.
What's up?
Well, I've just been doing some pounding on some Facebook friends about Baylor just stomping UT yesterday. Just got to get that in.
I didn't see the final number. It was pretty big, wasn't it?
They didn't roll up their offensive weaponry like they have been. It was mostly a defensive game. They played a different ball game, 28-7. But
oh, is that all of it? Okay. Well,
yeah,
Baylor's got a good team. I heard some of my TCIP friends talking about it and kind of, oh, woe is me yesterday. So I had a feeling that they lost. I didn't see any of it. What can I do for you?
Anyway, okay, couple of quick ones. I got about three oak saplings that had grown up next to the house, and I dug up, I'm going to say 3 years ago, and moved them, and they're doing fine.
Okay.
I think they're red oaks.
Right.
I got them scattered about the yard, and I have just let them go without doing anything to them, and I'm starting to want to shape them up. Is it okay? I mean, they're still pencil thin, but they're about 5-6 foot tall. Well, they're not pencil thin. They're thicker than that. But can I start to prune? I left all the greenery just to you know, give them every advantage of sunlight. And
well, that's the right thing to do. And the answer is, yeah, you can prune them up and change the shape. But when they're that young, you're not going to change the shape that much, Dale. What you want the most when a tree is young and getting established like that is as much photosynthesis going on as possible so that the root system is being built as much as possible. And you do that by leaving all the foliage on there.
So just leave them alone. I'm just pushing it. I want them to start looking more like a tree. I know.
I understand what you're saying, but the best thing for growth is to leave it all on there for now and start pruning up for shape and everything on down the road a bit, maybe a year or two from now.
Okay. I can wait. That's why I'm checking with you. I want to see what the expert had to say.
Well, you can change the shape quicker, but to get a bigger tree and a healthier tree in a shorter period of time, leave as much foliage as you can.
All right. So in this same vein, I just completed year two of my asparagus.
Okay.
I got about 15 pretty healthy plants. Probably some of them got 6-7 shoots coming out, some 3-4. I don't know. It's a mix. And I didn't touch them the first year. This year I probably harvested maybe what you'd call a grocery store rubber band bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, picked a few because I had to. I had to have some. What can I expect next year, and how much is safe to cut at any one time when they come back around?
Well, you have more self-control than I do, Dale, because I harvested the first year on mine. So I think that's an overblown thing in an organic program especially. And after you've gone a year, especially when you're into year two and three, I think you can harvest very aggressively for a while, basically cutting everything, all the spears off. And then at some point, let a few of them grow up into the ferns and keep harvesting some of the spears that are growing around those ferns. And then after a while, it's going to be real aggressive, and it's going to start shooting up some, and you're not going to harvest them all. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to look around, and you got a big old bushy growth all over again. And I tell you what I've done the last couple of years on asparagus is after it's grown back into a 5 feet high, solid, ferny bush, I've cut the entire thing down to the ground.
In the growing season?
In the middle of the growing season, and let them come on back a second time. Now, I've done that. I did it on purpose as an experiment to see what would happen. And I've done it the last 2 years. And I had really good growth and production that second time around. And right now, they're big and bushy again. The yellow foliage is starting to show just a little bit because we've had some coolish weather. And so as soon as we have a frost and it's yellow all the way across, I'll be taking them all the way to the ground.
That was going to be the follow-up question. Do I just wait till they just brown off completely before I chop them?
No, when they first start turning brown, that means systems have shut down and you can do it any time after that.
Okay. So you actually chopped them down in the middle of the growing season and then had a rebound and even a second harvest.
I had a real, real good harvest, yeah.
Wow.
So how many times you can do that without, you know, taking away too much of the energy from the underground part of the asparagus? I don't know. We may have some listeners that have done it to the point where they did some damage and will let us know. But so far, I haven't found that point.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Appreciate the call.
Always a pleasure.
And we have open lines for you right now if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. And I want to take just a minute here to talk about something, two things that are pretty important. Grass planting, a lot of questions about that from people all the way from my neighbors to golf buddies to people emailing us at info@dirtdoctor.com, Facebook, you name it. And that is, when is it too late to plant grass, and what should I be planting, and that sort of thing? And, of course, what should I plant in the shade? We did a newsletter on that not too long ago. Basically, if you're going to grow grass in the shade, you're going to have to plant solid sod and then replant it after it dies again, because you can't grow grass in the real heavy shade long term. It just can't happen. You're either going to grow grass or you're going to grow trees. So that's a way to go. The other alternative that is a so-so alternative in the shade is to plant fescue, tall fescue. We're still in the window to do that. It would have been better if you did it a few weeks ago, but you could still plant now from seed or sod, either one. And the fescue, the tall fescue, will grow fairly well in the shade. I'm talking about here in the south, and I'm in zone 8, so I'm anywhere down here in the south. In the north, the fescues and bluegrasses and cool season things can be grown, you know, year-round. But here in the summer, when it starts getting real hot, those cool season grasses are going to get in real stress, start thinning out and all that. And we basically recommend, if you go that route, that you have to replant the fescue. Rye won't last very well at all, but fescue will. Bluegrass, you know, is a little too tender here too. But you have to plant again each fall, each September. September the 15th through the end of September is the window to plant new seed if you want to go that cool season route. What's a better way to go? Well, plant ground covers and put mulches in some areas so you have some hard paving, maybe decomposed granite in an area, some shredded native tree trimmings mulch in an area, some ground cover, some ferns, some shade-loving dwarf shrubs and things like that, and not fight having turf in those shady areas. Or cut down some trees, and in most cases that's not the thing that people want to do or can do for whatever reason, you know. So that's the selection thing. The other one is timing, and from a timing standpoint, you can literally plant any grass there is right now from solid sod. The cool season things, the summer grasses, Bermuda, St. Augustine grasses, always just centipede, whatever. A lot of people tell you you can't do that after September the 1st, but that's just silly. You can plant right now. It's a good time to plant new solid sod. Is there a risk of it freezing? Well, if we had another 1983-84 type freeze where it, you know, went set record low temperatures, it's going to hurt established grass. So yeah, it'll hurt new grass. That is a risk. And you can, if you don't want to have any risk at all, or very little risk, I guess you can wait and plant in spring. But if landscape contractors and golf course people didn't plant solid sod during the fall and into the winter, you know, they would be in real trouble. They do a lot of planting at that time, and it works out fine. The other thing is about transplanting trees. A lot of questions about that. Is it a good time now? Shall wait till middle of winter? Shall wait till spring? There seems to be a misconception that planting in the fall is not a good idea. Truth is, late summer and fall is the ideal time to plant trees. And the main reason, there's several reasons, but the main reason is that if you do that, you catch the most significant burst of root growth that a tree has in the fall. In the fall and early winter, that tree is going to put on significant root growth. There's going to be a little bit of root growth all during the winter. And then when spring comes around, the tree takes off and looks like it's been there for longer than it has. If you do it in the winter, that works pretty good too, but you tend to miss that burst, that fall burst of root growth. And if you wait till spring, you can get away with it, and a lot of people do it because that's when the selections are better in the nurseries, you know, and everybody has it on their mind and that sort of thing. But that's the worst time, really, to, you know, it's going to kind of shock planting it when it wanted to take off in the spring, and you're doing that transplant damage to it. It's going to kind of be slow getting going. It'll be a lot like planting in the heat of the summer. You can get away with both of those. You can plant any time of the year. You can plant a tree literally any time of the year. But without question, the ideal time is today in the late summer and early fall. Talking about our zone here, and of course the same would be for everybody across the country adjusting for your temperature. Best is the fall, second best is the winter, and then everything else comes in third place. All right. And if you got any related questions to that, let's talk about it. Let's see. I think that was it. We'll get back to the phones here. Regina is next up in Dallas. Hi, Regina.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Oh, don't you love this cooler weather?
Oh, I do. I really do. It's my favorite time of the year.
Well, before I get off the phone, I got to ask you about carrots and radishes because I'm a home cook, and I have the blessing of having an 1,100 square foot garden that I can put all organic in, and I have people help me with it. But I cannot grow carrots and radishes. That's not my primary reason for calling, though. The reason I'm calling is I'm Regina in Dallas that has been trying really desperately to get the city council to realize they don't need to spend $1 million adding hydrofluorosilicic acid to our water.
Somebody gave me your name not too long ago, and I was going to give you a call, so I'm glad you called. Before we talk about fluoride, let's talk about carrots and radishes real quick.
Please.
Regina, if you're having trouble growing radishes, we got a long way to go because those are the easiest things to grow of all.
That's what everybody tells me, and I get the most beautiful green tops on them. I mean, beautiful. It looks like a plant. But then my little root is just this little puny little root.
Just doesn't develop. Okay, hang on, and we'll talk about it in detail when we come back, and then we'll get into fluoride talk as well, and I'll get in trouble again. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back after this.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right.
There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back, and two real quick things before we get back with Regina and talk about a couple of different things. I said I was going to mention how you can get that white passion flower or passion vine that's on Facebook right now. Mine came from Bob Webster in San Antonio. Those of you that are in San Antonio or go to San Antonio, they sell white passion flower there at Shades of Green in San Antonio. I'm not talking about any other city. The one Bob Webster and Roberta own in San Antonio, they found it somehow as a pass-me-down plant. They have no idea what the variety is, and neither do I. Where it propagates very easily, and so they're propagating it down there and selling it. We're going to propagate it from my big vine here and make it available to the members of the Organic Club of America. And that's all I need to say about it right now. I'll give everybody more details about that as we go. It's easy to propagate. It does. Mine is covered in fruit right now for the first time, so it's going to be interesting to see how good the fruit is besides having the beautiful white flowers. But if you want to see it, it's on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor and got to go down below a couple of notes that I've added this morning, and you'll see it right there. The other thing was, what the heck? Oh, somebody called in and said I was wrong about the caller, first caller of the show, I guess, saying it may have been rodents taking the twigs off of the elm tree, that it was twig girdlers, because he has the same situation on his pecans. It could be twig girdlers, but twig girdlers make a cut that looks like it was cut with a pipe cutter, real smooth cut and symmetrical, and then the very center breaks off rough. She was talking about a cut that was kind of angular and kind of slick and looked more like gnawing, I thought is what she said. But that, if she's still listening or anybody, those are the two things. If it's at an angle, it's generally rodents. And if it's perfectly straight across and very, very smooth cut, it's the insect called the twig girdler, and we've covered it in the Texas Bug Book, and you can also find info on the website on dirtdoctor.com. Regina, back to radishes. When did you first try to grow radishes and not have any luck?
Well, I've only been a gardener for about 3 years. Before that, I was afraid of bees, and I didn't ever want to get out and get hot.
Okay.
But now I love the concept. And so it was about 3 years ago, and I tried growing them in the greenhouse, in pots, and in the garden.
What time of year, though, was my question, really?
Oh, what time of year? Okay. Well, when the seed packets first come out, probably in the early spring.
Okay. That's a cool season plant. And so if you go plant some this afternoon, you'll be amazed at what success you'll have. You can't plant that in a real hot weather.
The
little
seed,
the little seedlings will come up and just pass out. You can sometimes cheat a little bit by using shade cloth and some things to protect it. But for sure, as it develops, it has to develop in cool weather to make those big, beautiful, delicious radishes, and they form in a hurry. Carrots are kind of the same way. They need the cool season for development as well. You can sometimes get them started when it's still a little warm, but they have to develop during cooler weather.
Well, there you go. Someone just told me that about spinach. The first year I planted, somehow I did something right, and I had the most beautiful spinach. Ever since then, I wasn't able to grow it. Well, I go to Redenta's all the time, and they were telling me that the ground needs to be cool. So I just put some in, and now I do have spinach growing again. But I would have called you prior to this and said, my spinach never grows either. They were telling me the ground needs to be cool. Now, see, who would ever figure that? And since I don't have much background in it, I would think just the opposite.
Well, let me tell you a book I recommend. It's called the Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening Book.
Okay.
It was written by Malcolm Beck and yours truly.
Okay.
And it tells you all about timing and a lot of information about pest control. And it covers vegetables and fruit and edible landscaping and all kinds of things. But timing is a pretty big deal. You can sometimes cheat and get away with certain things, but you have to stick basically with the timing that the seed need as far as germinating and developing, you know, maturing during the kind of weather that they need to mature in.
I'm going to put some out on Monday. I'm excited. This is good. This is real good.
Let's talk about fluoride. Yeah, I didn't know we had maybe a possibility of getting Dallas to stop putting fluoride in the water.
Well, we do because Councilman Sheffy Cadane, he spoke up in May.
And I didn't know that, and I know Sheffy. I'll be darned.
Yeah, in May, we had been going for a few months, and actually, I just went up to him one day, and I was saying, thank you for, you know, you at least give us eye contact, you know? I said, we're trying to just come here and help you guys be informed, and you actually listen. He said, well, it's the least I can do. I go, okay, do you think maybe you give me a few more minutes? And I told him, and he goes, wait, it's $1 million that we're spending on this stuff? I go, yeah, here's the paperwork right here. And he goes, wow. He said, the city needs so much money, he says. And so he started listening. And the fact, what really got him was two things. The raw water in Dallas has 0.5 parts per million. And they put in only 0.2 parts more to bring it up to that 0.7 parts per million that's recommended. And he said, my goodness, we have enough in there. Why would we want to do this? And it was like a common sense kind of thing that opened his eyes.
So we already have 0.5 in the water naturally?
That is correct. That is correct.
Actually,
listen, it goes higher than that because, again, I'm a novice with a lot of this because my heart was there, and then I started looking into it. So I talked to the water department, and while I was getting there, because they check the water every 4 hours, and it comes in from three different sources. And some days it's even at 7 or above.
When they get it? Let me put you on hold, and we'll talk off the air, Regina, and then I'll pass it on to everybody and get myself, again, as I said, in more trouble. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, give me a call, 444-3478. It's 866.